Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee Conversations. This is Father David.
And I'm Deacon Bob.
Deacon Bob's great. He's really he's really a good deacon. We were just sitting getting ready. You know, it's like we're trying to figure out this podcasting stuff, and I'm still kind of figuring out how to really start everything. And it's like, well, Deacon Bob was like, well, why don't we start with a prayer? I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. But welcome. We're so great to have you this week. It's raining outside right now. I guess we're anticipating a snowstorm tonight. Probably one of the first for the year. But Deacon Bob's got some Christmas lights up. Did you throw these up yesterday?
No, I put them up this morning. My grandson was in between like appointments. He was waiting for the orthodontist, so I said, yeah, come on over, let's put some lights up. So he was all excited.
Nice. They look great. Deacon Bob, by the way, has like the best office in the whole compound here. He has lots of windows all the way around. It's pretty amazing. I put Christmas lights up in my seminary room. So that was I would decorate. A seminary room, super small. It's like a little prison cell.
It's about as big as a closet.
Yeah, maybe two closets. But I would always put red Christmas lights up and a little Christmas tree, and it was a good time. Very but cool. it really brings us a good vibe this morning. For a coffee mug this morning, I have it's Soup for the Soul 2006. It looks like a St. Malachy Parish. A fundraiser, or they must have had for their soup kitchen. I believe they have. And soup sounds really good right now. It's cold and rainy.
We did turkey soup a couple of days ago. Mm. The only thing with turkey soup is it never goes away. It just, you keep adding water to it or broth. Yeah. It's just like more broth, more. It just kind of like stays forever. Nice. I've got my Tasmanian Devil cup. My Ooh. Son gave it to me. It says one cool dad.
Nice.
But as I was looking at it, I thought, like, you know, it seems like I'm always running or Tasmanian deviling around.
Yeah, is that what he was trying to say?
I'm not really sure. I have to ask him. On the inside, it says, my dad can do anything. I'm hoping that was the reason.
At hyper speed.
Yeah. But I think Advent's one of those times when it calls us not to be the Tasmanian devil and to kind of ratchet it down a little.
Yeah, that's probably true. Is he your favorite cartoon character?
I think it was his favorite cartoon character.
Okay, well, you know, that's okay. It's a Homer, Homer gift, yep. I suppose. Yeah, so Advent, we're already here. Are you you excited for Advent this year?
I am. It seems like we've been waiting since March, for this pandemic to go away.
It's been a waiting for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, you know, I have to say I love the liturgical seasons. So we have our regular, you know, kind of our secular calendar, our month-to-month calendar. But I've noticed in the past number of years, I really appreciated, like, the liturgical calendar. So the fact that we have different seasons in the church, I couldn't really imagine. You know, that's one of the things I like living in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And we have the changing of the seasons. We have fall and winter and summer. And, like, there's a certain just, like, I don't know, certain niceness to having some change every once in a while. And so I've been looking forward to this Advent season for a couple weeks now. And we got a little decoration in my room over in the rectory. I put up a tree, but I put purple bulbs on it. So a little Advent flavor, a little Advent spice, and put up my nativity, but without the little bambino, right? In the Italian, without the little Jesus in the manger. Why is it? Is bambino like little child?
I think it's baby.
Italian, little baby.
I'm not good at Italian.
I did not take Italian, so.
The first year we got married, I put the baby Jesus and the three kings in the nativity set, like, at the beginning of December. My wife was like, no, they have to kind of like, the three kings have to move across, and we can't put the baby in until Christmas.
Right. It's like, So, got to do it right.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, it's good. Decoration is a great way to enter into a season, I think. And so I think it's really good to talk about this because I think, you know, probably this year more than any year, we're like really ready to jump into Christmas, you know, just with everything going on in 2020, this past year. People, I think we just really want to set our hearts on something, you know, joyful and celebratory. And, you know, there have been Hallmark Christmas movies, you know, on for weeks, if not months at this point. Decorations are or everywhere when you're driving around. It's just like there's a lot of Christmas lights mm-hmm. up, which is nice. But really, this is Advent is upon us now, and it's not for as good as Christmas is. I think we need to really focus on this time, these next 4 weeks that we have. Advent, you know, what is that word, you know, Advent mean? Oh, it means arrival. So like the arrival or someone or something. So it's their adventing almost as a verb. And as the church, you know, this Advent season, these next 4 weeks, it's kind of a twofold thing. We're anticipating, we're preparing for the reality of Christmas, which is what? God coming into reality, taking on flesh, becoming a human being. But that also it's to prepare for Christ's second coming, where he will come again and be with his creation at the end of time. But I think, you know, for Advent, we talk about it's a time of preparing. You know, Deacon Bob, I think there's a difference between waiting and preparing. What do you think maybe that's like in regards to this Advent season?
Well, I think waiting is kind of for me. I can just sit and wait, mark time, yeah. Do nothing. Preparing is how do I get ready for somebody else? Mm-hmm. So if I'm waiting for Christmas at home, that means I'm watching the Browns, or I'm watching yeah. Christmas movies.
Sure.
If I'm preparing for Christmas, then I'm cleaning the house a little bit. We're putting up the Christmas tree. We're getting ready for our guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do we prepare for those people that are coming into our lives? Mm-hmm. And I think Advent's a lot like that. You know, we can either wait and mark time for myself, or I can prepare. How am I going to meet Jesus in the person that rings the bell for Salvation Army at Walmart? You know, like, how am I meeting Jesus and others?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is something, you know, waiting versus preparing. You know, waiting kind of seems like a passive kind of like, well, it kind of happens to you. You know, Advent really doesn't happen to us as much as it is something that we, you know, that we enter into. You know, it's almost like you got to get in there and play the game. You can't just sit on the bench. I know, like, growing up, I played CYO basketball. I was good enough to be on the A team, but I did spend a little bit of time on the bench. And you know, it was always, you know, this nerve wracking moment. It was like the best and the worst thing about playing a sport or basketball. You know, you're just super nervous to like get on the field and start playing. But once you do it, like, kind of the fear goes away, and it's like this is great. You know. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost like with these seasons and with Advent, you know, the temptation can kind of just be, well, just let it go by and kind of be where it's easy. But really entering into it is going to make, I think, the best of it for us. You have an Advent calendar?
We don't this year. When we were kids, we did. You know, you open a little door every yeah. day and there's like a little piece of chocolate or something oh, yeah. in there. I know Busted Halo, and maybe we can put that link in the notes.
Sure.
They have like a digital Advent calendar.
Nice.
I thought there was a cool, Paula in the office mentioned a reverse Advent calendar.
Yeah.
Like where every day instead of taking out the chocolate, maybe we put something that needs to be donated to Goodwill in a basket. Or the kids that have like a gazillion toys. How do we think about those people that don't have as many toys and maybe mm-hmm. start sharing some of those toys we don't use anymore
sure.
with other people? But I don't know. What was your experience with Advent calendars?
I don't know. I remember having one. We didn't have chocolate in ours. I think that would have been awesome.
It's really good.
I think we had like little scripture quotes in ours. It wasn't exciting. I think they make adult ones too, where there's a little bottle of wine or something.
Oh, that sounds good. Wine of the day.
That would be fun. But I don't know. We didn't do it too much. But you know, I think it's the question of, you know, why do we prepare, you know, for Advent? And I think it's the reasons are kind of twofold. You know, to really invite Jesus into our lives, into our habits. And then to really encounter and serve Jesus and others. So in a sense, I think it's not just something we do externally, but it's something about a reality that's internal, you know, a spiritual kind of preparation. You know, when our culture prepares for things, you know, what does it usually mean? Well, it means you buy a lot of things, buy food, you know, have people over, which are all good things. But as Christians, you know, I think we live for a different kind of preparation and journey, namely our relationship with God. So I think it begs the question, like, how do we invite God into our lives? Like, what does that really mean? And I think it can be a balance between external, doing things that leads to something that happens within us. So when we talk about, the season of Lent, which we're not quite in yet, we got a few months for that. You know, in Lent, we talk about prayer and fasting and almsgiving. So prayer, obviously, our communication with God. Fasting, giving up something that's kind of a part of our lives. And almsgiving, you know, a life of charity. So reaching out to those in need. And it's in doing these, you know, physical things, these real things, that helps to lead us to a certain change within ourselves. What do you think you have the hardest time with? Prayer, fasting, or almsgiving, and or what do you find the most fruitful for you?
I think the most dangerous prayer is, Lord, help me to see you today, because especially like if I'm sitting in traffic and I have to wait, or a person cuts me off on the freeway, you know, if I ask God to help me to see him today, you know, how do I respond as a Christian to those moments of inconvenience or just selfishness? Or the person who walks in front of you in the line at Walmart or a Giant Eagle, how do we respond to that person as meeting Jesus in that person right then? For me, that's the most dangerous prayer, is help me see you today and respond to you.
So prayer can be the hardest, because it like really can help to change our lives, you know, which is just something that we kind of fear at times, right? If we pray for patience, you know, the Lord is going to give us an opportunity
to
practice patience, which we like the idea, but then like the going through it. So that can be, you know, that can be rough at times. I think with me, I think one of the most things I find fruitful is this kind of reality of fasting, of giving up things for a certain amount of time. You know, and fasting not just in a sense of like, you know, we torture ourselves, you know, deny ourselves good things because, you know, it somehow makes us Christian and God wants us to not like good things. But fasting is really helping us to see what are our attachments, what are the things we're really kind of almost kind of addicted to, like in a certain sense that we rely on for happiness. So right now I'm doing this program with a number of priests. It's called Exodus 90. It's kind of like a spiritual boot camp for guys to enter into for 90 days. And there's prayer and there's fasting and then there's fraternity. And there's a lot of things we fast from. And this whole idea is, you know, we stop doing these things for a period of time. 90 days is actually, you know, it's said to, it takes 90 days to reset your habits and develop new habits. So so we give up technology and TV and sports and food and drink and busy social calendar and warm showers. So we actually taking cold showers. You know, we think about it, it's like, it's not going to kill you, but it's really something we're pretty attached to, you know, the idea of a comfortable shower. You know, and all these things are good, you know, we don't deny them because they're bad. But ultimately, if we have our happiness in these things, they're going to lead us to be a little lacking. You know, I think the prayer becomes that we offer these things, we offer the ache that we feel in not having these things to Jesus, you know, knowing that he will satisfy our desires, that like our ultimate happiness isn't in him, or isn't in those things, but is in him. So, you know, I think I've noticed as I've done it so far, we're going to end at Christmas, that I've had a certain patience and a certain strength that I've grown in that Jesus has graced me with, I think, and not having some of these things. So maybe that could be something that we look at this Lent. You know, what is one thing that I'm really, takes a lot of my time, I really invest a lot of my my energy and happiness into? Maybe how can I step away from that a little bit to then invite, you know, something else in? You know, so if it's not spending a lot of time on your phone, being attentive to your kids or your family members, you know, calling up an aunt or someone you haven't talked to in a long time, you know, ask Jesus to, you know, fill that space with something, make it evident of, you know, what can I do to encounter you in others. So that's kind of how I'm entering into this, this Advent, specifically giving up my smartphone, but kind of just being attentive to those things that, where am I, not desiring God, maybe enough.
That's so good. Yeah, I guess I'm just asking, how can I see Jesus in those people that are sometimes hard to see God in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I remember we were doing a backpacking retreat.
Yeah.
And some of the adults, the kids made us lunch. They made sandwiches for us. And some of the adults wanted like their perfect sandwich, which kids don't make very well.
Yeah.
I just told them to surprise me. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Nice. Nice.
I think sometimes we have this expectation of how we want to meet God,
mm-hmm.
when God wants to surprise us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my hope would be for Advent that we ask God to surprise us, because Jesus certainly did not come the way that the Jewish people thought he was going to come.
Right.
He definitely surprised them. And this Christmas is probably not going to be the ideal Christmas because of all the COVID rules and everything else.
Sure.
And precautions.
Sure.
So the question is, how do we ask God to surprise us when we make that space open? So whether we're fasting or for whatever, how is God going to surprise us, and how are we going to respond to it when he does do that?
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Leave it open for God, you know. I think that's kind of what makes Christianity, you know, this living this this life of faith, something of an adventure, and more than anything else. So, may that's certainly our prayer for all of you, that you may have a blessed Advent as we're into this first week already, that our hearts may be open to where God is calling us, and that we may truly prepare for His coming. So we'll add in the show notes some of the things we referenced, Exodus 90 and what else?
And Busted Halos.
Busted Halo and some of the other
Advent
things.
Advent calendar.
Yeah, for sure. We'll add some of the things in. Have a blessed week. Know of our prayers. And think, too, of who can I pray for today? You know, who is in most need of prayer that I can carry with me in my heart this Advent? So have a...
You and I began with prayer off air. How about if we end with prayer together with everybody who's listening?
For sure. That's great. That's great, Deacon Bob. All right, let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day, the gift of our lives, of our church, of our faith, and of this Advent season. We ask you to be with us. Open our hearts to follow you wherever you are leading us, to encounter you in prayer, in fasting, in almsgiving, and those around us. Prepare our hearts to receive you, not just at Christmas, but every day of our lives. And we ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Enjoy. Hopefully, don't get buried in the snow. And we'll catch you next week.